You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. This turbulent year that is 2020 has caused some people to dive deep into the arts for a mental escape or for more understanding of what's going on. During the pandemic, San Francisco poet laureate Kim Shuck has been posting a poem a day from poets around the Bay Area on the city's library website. She is the city's seventh poet to hold the coveted role, and she'll soon pass the baton off to someone else. Kim writes about her Cherokee and Polish heritage and social justice issues, like the high murder rates of Indigenous women, an issue that's affected her personally. KALW's Janae Darden spoke with Kim Shuck about what inspires her artistry.
When did you start writing poetry?
The family story is that I wrote in pictures before I learned how to write. Mom says the first actual written down stuff must have been second grade, but no one remembers.
What has being San Francisco Poet Laureate been like? Did it meet or exceed your expectations? I know it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. What it probably means ultimately is I'll never have to fight to get things published again. At least that's how it seems now. It's gotten me threatened with death. It's gotten me strange, hostile notes. But it's also revealed to me the incredible depth of generally Bay Area poetry. You know, I knew there were a lot of great poets in the area, but I had the fabulous excuse to basically summon them and have them come read to me, which has been delightful.
I was reading your inaugural address, and you said that where you come from, art and writing is how you survive and come out of self-destruction. How have you survived with all of that's going on, with the pandemic, with the wildfires, with the election? How has your art and writing helped you?
It's an excellent question. I haven't been writing as much or making as much art as I usually do. But the project that I have been doing regularly is a poem a day for the San Francisco Public Library. Mm-hmm. And I'm viewing that as a creative act. It's almost like reading tarot cards or tea leaves or something, because I've been scheduling the poems really far in advance. And weirdly, quite often, the poem that came up on the day was related to a piece of news that I could have had no knowledge was coming up. And it's just kind of, it's been really good. Seeing my own feelings through other people's work has been really important to me during the pandemic.
I want to ask you about that. You're very talented at, in addition to poetry, is beading. Your beading is beautiful. When did you get into beading, and what brought you to that?
That's another thing that nobody really knows what they're doing. Okay, so my mother has a piece of embroidery I did when I must have been about four. It's not a great piece, but it's there. So I've been doing it for a long time. And I kind of have a style that's really different to a lot of people. My work is pretty distinctive. I use different size beads, which a lot of people don't do, a lot of texture.
Yeah, I notice a lot of texture.
It is also what I got my MFA in, so.
How does it make you feel when you bead?
There's a question nobody's ever asked me. So it's very calming. It's a meditation. But it also has to be, because I had been asked at one point to make an eye patch for a community member who had lost an eye to cancer. So when you get asked to do things like that, and like I make things people dance in for ceremony. So you have to be in the right space. You don't want to, just sort of from a ritual perspective, you don't want to come to that with bad intentions. You want to be well focused on what's positive. And so I take it very seriously.
You have an activist spirit, and you've been very outspoken also about the crisis of Indigenous women. And I know this has affected you directly because you lost your own daughter in 2012, right?
Yes.
And you won a Penn Award for your book, Murdered Missing. I've heard you perform your work many times, and I know your daughter comes up in your work. How has losing your daughter violently, how has that changed your writing? And how has your writing about her evolved over the years?
I may be ready to look over my writing about her and to see how it's evolved. Mm-hmm. But when you talk about the women we've lost as numbers, it depersonalizes it and makes it a little more palatable. And I understand why people do that, because it's mm-hmm. a lot to take in. But in my book, Murdered Missing, there are a few poems I deliberately wrote a little ragged so that people would have to hear it. I think there are a lot more heroic mothers and daughters who've been, you know, taken from us in violence. There's one woman up in Canada who decided that probably her daughter's body ended up in the river, and she has made it her task to drag the river. And she's turned up other children, other people's children.
And I know for the book, Murdered Missing, you're not taking any proceeds from the book. And where are the proceeds going?
They're going to the Sovereign Bodies Institute. The Sovereign Bodies Institute, among other things, does work with actually counting the number of the dead, mm-hmm. which hadn't been happening. It's easy to say this is a racist set of actions, and that will be part of it. But apart from that, there's going to be contributing factors, right? And we can't know mm-hmm. what those are until we get a real number.
I thought it was interesting that you were saying that other mothers are doing much more brave work than you. Do you feel like you should be doing more? Because I feel like just the fact that you even talk about it takes guts.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like when you get a really loud set of speakers to talk through, it's a responsibility to use that space to say something important. The thing about the book that was great, so I have a relationship with Haskell Indian Nations University in Kansas.
Yes.
And I've read there a couple of times, and I love the student body, and I may end up teaching there someday if I have my wishes to teach Indigenous kids and Indigenous girls in particular. And the last time I went back there, I read from Murdered Missing. This one girl came up to me and said, you lost your daughter. I said, I did. She said, I lost my mother. She said, if you ever need somebody to call you up and just sort of say in a sarcastic tone, are you seriously going to wear that out of the house? I'm available. And I thought, wow, because, you know, the things you miss about having an available daughter are not all celebrations and, you know, landmarks and all of that. Some of them are just little weird daily stuff. I have gotten more back from the book I don't get paid for and from doing that work than I have from really any of my other work.
You're almost done with your tenure as San Francisco Poet Laureate. What are you going to miss about this position? And what are you looking forward to now that you'll be done soon?
To the extent that I ever wanted to be the Poet Laureate of San Francisco, it was only so that I could be the former Poet Laureate of San Francisco. So I'm looking forward to being Laureate Emerita. The responsibilities are the ones I want, not the ones I think I need to do.
What are you going to miss?
What am I going to miss? I think I'm satisfied. My ego has been well fed, and I'm looking forward to the nap. So I think I'm just looking forward to being done.
That was San Francisco Poet Laureate Kim Shuck speaking with KELW's Janae Darden. Kim is the author of the books Deer Trails and Murdered Missing. You can go to KELW.org for more information.